sermon this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Please turn with me there. That is on page 1169 of your pew Bible. Page 1169. Start the reading with verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for the great work that You have done. Our Father, we thank You for bringing us Your word and Your truth, because of Your grace and because of Your kindness. We ask now, Father, that You turn us to You. Turn us to Your word. Father, shine in our faces and shine into our hearts and cast out every shadow. Help us now, God, to truly seek Your face, that You would be glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a young man, I went to Fort Steuben Scout Reservation. And it was just outside of a little town called Deersville. And in Deersville, there was the Deersville General Store. It's just this little mom-and-pop place, but we were convinced it was magic. Anything that we ever needed from the Deersville General Store, we went there and we would find it. The Deersville General Store is even in the book called The Best Homemade Ice Cream in the World. You turn through there and you can find the Deersville General Store and their best homemade ice cream. Well, when I was on my vacation the last couple of weeks, I had traveled to scout camp and I pulled into Deersville. And I saw the Deersville General Store and I thought, at last. I parked my car and I went walking in and I had this hope and this expectation. I walked in and there was this young man in his flannel shirt with the sleeves cut off and his old ball cap on. I said, chocolate milk. I'm after some chocolate milk packets. And he said, don't think we have any of those. And I was deeply disturbed because the Deersville General Store had always had everything that I could ever need. And he said, well, follow me. And we walked back through the stores across the crooked floor. And we come to the counter. And we come to the shelf and he just stares at it. And he says, nope, don't have any of that. I said, magic. He said, what? I said, magic. I've been coming to this store since 1987. We've been convinced that this place was magic. Anything we've ever needed has always been here. I came here for a machete, and you had a machete. I said, I came here looking for a Gilligan's hat, and you had a Gilligan's hat. I came looking for a skipper hat, and you had that too. I wanted a handheld crossbow, and you had that. We said the place was magic. I said, you're telling me that's dead now because you don't have hot chocolate? He said, yep. I lowered my head and I walked out of the Deersville General Store, grossly disappointed. As we look at the scripture here, we see that there are expectations that God has regarding your salvation. We look here and see that you were saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to the praise of His Son. So the question is, are you fulfilling this purpose in your life? Is your salvation accomplishing this purpose in your life? As we looked at Psalm 67, we see that we ask God to bless us so that the nations will see, so that the world will believe. In your salvation, we see that all of this has taken place. It talks about you being predestined. It talks about Christ's blood being the cost for your salvation. And it goes all the way through so that He will be praised. So the question is God being praised by you and by others for your great salvation? The call for you is for you to examine your heart, to examine the great price that was paid for you, and for you to praise God for your great redemption. Look with me at verse 7 as we go on this journey. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. We're going to consider this idea of redemption, this idea that you have been bought back, this idea that you have been purchased. And so often we get this idea, yes, He paid for my sins and bought me back, but that was back when I was a villain, or that's back when I was bad. I'm a good guy now. Well, the truth is, it's as if we have a running tab with God. I hate to have to put it in those terms, but the idea is that you are still committing crimes that Christ is paying for. The idea is that even if you were as good as you are right now, Christ would still have to die to rescue you, to pay for you, to pay for your crimes. Sadly, we forget that and we think that we've arrived, or we think that we were bad, but now we're good. You see, this redemption is a continuous process where Christ is at the throne even now, interceding for you. Even now, Christ at the throne has to intercede. And I don't know what He has to say. Does He have to keep saying, don't kill him? Don't kill her? I've paid for that crime. Don't wipe him out? What does the intercessor have to say? I am not sure. But for you and I, we are continuously in need of Christ. Continuously in need of this intercession. It's spoken of this way in Genesis 48. And this is Israel, this is Jacob. He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil." What do you think in these terms? That you are in the process even now of redemption. You have indeed been justified, but even now you are still being rescued by Christ. Even now you are still in need of being rescued by Christ. And that if justice were done apart from Christ, you would be undone. You would be killed. You would be thrown into the fires of hell. I have had the experience of trying to go the speed limit. That's so hard. It is so hard. It seems like nobody else goes the speed limit. But the truth is, people that go the speed limit never actually see each other because they're staying the same distance from each other. So I'm convinced that they're out there. We just never, ever see each other. Well, I've had the experience of driving down the road and somebody flies past me and I think, I wish the police were here. I wish the police would get them.
And there have been times where I drive down the road and I look and they got pulled over. And I rejoice and I'm so excited and happy and I zip by and I want to honk and wave as I go by. And then you look down at your speedometer and realize, oh no, I'm speeding. You know, we look at other people and we want to judge other people continuously. But the truth is, you're speeding too. You're speeding too, continuously. It's guilt upon us. Continuously, you need Christ. Continuously, you are worthy of death. Continuously, you are worthy of hell and damnation. So be humble in your redemption. Be humble in your interaction with sinners. Be humble as you point people to Christ. And you know, from these places, from our humility, we should be praising Him for our great redemption. Praising Him for what He has accomplished, never puffed up in ourselves, never puffed up in what we've accomplished, never puffed up in where we are, but humble in what has been accomplished for us and what has been accomplished for you. Next, look with me at verses 7 and 8. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. How about that, riches? You think of your salvation in terms of riches granted to you. So often I look at what I have not. I look at what I don't have. I look at the car that I don't have or the van that I don't have. I look at the house that I don't have. All these things that I don't have. What do you have? What have you been given? What have you received? This morning we talked a bit about the idea of having a son and loving a son, loving a child, and the idea of a child being given up to rescue a sinner. And how that is so far from my thinking that I would give up one of my children to save anyone else, to save any of you. I just don't love that well. But can you think of the great purchase that was made for you? Can you think of the great price that was paid? Can anything be more valuable than what was paid for you? Anything on heaven or earth, could it be more valuable than the life of Christ? That was the price for your salvation. And it was, if you are in Christ. What worth is your salvation? Is there anything else that you need? Is there any jobs that you need? Is there any car that you need? Is there any degree that you need? Is there any spouse that you need? You have been given what is more valuable than anything else on heaven or earth in the great purchase of your salvation. Shouldn't you then live a life of praise? Shouldn't you then be rejoicing as you have been given the pearl of great price, for which everything else could be sold to purchase? You have indeed been loved. So live in a place of thankful praise. Now, we've looked at the value of your salvation. Now, we're going to meditate a little bit more on the price paid. Verses 7 and 8. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. I do not like to see blood. I do not like to think about blood. I think God has placed that in us so that we remember and we realize that this is the picture of life lost. Every time I see blood, I'm shocked. I forget how bright blood is, and I marvel at the how sharp the imagery is. God rightly says that blood was given to make atonement because the life is in the blood, demonstrating that the cost for every sin, the cost for every crime, is indeed life. It is indeed life. As the scripture talks about the blood of Christ, it's talking about the life of Christ. The life poured out. In Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. I think of a woman awaiting an engagement ring. So often they say that it doesn't matter. I don't care what kind of ring I have. That may be true to a certain extent. It may be true for some women to a certain extent. But even if they say that it doesn't matter at all, if you came and you slid a ring onto her finger and she looked at it and pulled it off and it bent real nice and easy, and she asked, did you get this out of a gumball machine? And you said yes, that woman who didn't care would care all of a sudden. Because to some degree, the cost of something does matter. The cost of something, what someone will pay, does matter. It displays the value of the one receiving the gift. But again, what was the cost of your salvation? The lifeblood of God Himself. The lifeblood of God Himself is what has been paid to purchase your eternity. I have been struck by King David in so many ways, in so many different ways. One of the times was when Absalom was killed. Some of you will remember that when David was king, his son Absalom rose up against him and came in war against David and was doing atrocious things, doing evil things in his kingdom, was trying to kill his own father. But David desired for his son to be saved, desired for his son Absalom to be alive. And he took his generals and said, don't hurt my son. If it is at all possible, spare the boy's life. When the war came around and the battle raged, one of David's generals looked and he decided, no, this man will not live. And he stabbed him through with his spear. And the other men gathered around and stabbed David's son through with the spear. And when they came back and gave the report that they said, all of your enemies are dead, David cried out, oh, Absalom, 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 my son, for a son that was a villain, for a son that would take his own father's life. I cannot imagine weeping over the loss of a son. I cannot imagine after what I've been given, what I have known, after knowing the minds and the hearts of my sons, to have one taken away, and I would wail, and I would weep, and I would mourn, my son, my son, my son. For a son that's imperfect, for a son that commits crimes against God. How much more so? Father of heaven and earth, the Father that gave His Son to purchase you. Is there any wonder the sky went black that day? Is there any wonder that the earth shook? Is there any wonder that Christ called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Dark, dark day. purchase your redemption. To save you. To give you eternity with the Father. How much should we praise Him? How much should we rejoice in the great love that we have been shown? Next, look with me at the second half of verse 8 and verse 9. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the kind intention which He purchased in Him. I like the idea of a mystery. I'm going to call upon you to praise Him because of the mystery that has been revealed to you in kindness. I like the idea of a mystery. I like knowing things that other people don't get to know. If something's hidden, I want to know it. My wife is the epitome of this. If there's a secret, she can't stand it. If I'm angry with her, all I have to do is get her a surprise and tell her, I have a surprise for you, and not tell her what it is. It drives her mad. When we were first married, for some reason and through the course of my life, I had always wanted one of those coconut monkeys. You ever seen the it's a monkey. It's carved out of a coconut. I always wanted one. It was a bank. And I finally got one. My great uncle Andy gave me a coconut monkey. And we were expecting our first child. And one of Leslie's friends was over. And I don't know if her friend hated me or what the story was. But she said, Leslie, I have a secret. And she took a piece of paper, wrote something on it, folded it up, and stuck it in my coconut monkey. I didn't know what was going to happen until I came home from work the next day and I found my coconut monkey in the garbage smashed. My wife could not keep herself from the secret within the coconut monkey. You know, God has put something in us where we're desiring to know these secrets. We're desiring to know these things. And as we look at Scripture, God talks about His very covenant being a secret. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. Isn't it something that the covenant of grace is a secret? Covenant of grace is something that has been withheld. That God reveals it to those who fear Him. In Luke 24, verses 44 through 45, Now He said to them, These are My words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And He opened their minds to understand the Scripture. See, somehow, to some degree, mankind is locked in this place where we don't know. Where we won't know. Where we can't know unless God opens our minds to receive it. In Romans 3, verses 10 and 11, As it is written, There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. That's striking. The truth is, everyone out there that doesn't know Christ, they don't want to know Christ. They do not want to know Christ. There is no one who seeks God unless God first gives them a new heart in order to seek Him. No amount of education will teach anyone to obey Christ. No argument will pin somebody into a corner where they will receive Christ without the Father giving them a heart to receive Christ. You can praise God because you have been given such a heart. You are not saved because you are smarter than anyone else, because you've been able to think through it, because you've been able to sort it out. You are not saved because of your great learning or your great understanding. You are saved because God gave you a heart for Him. A heart to believe Him. A heart to trust in Him. To praise Him because of the mystery that has been revealed to you in kindness. Next, look with me at verses 13 and 14. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. I'm going to call upon you to praise him for the Holy Spirit. Praise him for the Holy Spirit. It is striking to me, maybe even a little bit terrifying to me, that I am now the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ dwells within you. From the foundation of the world, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. That same Spirit dwells in you now. The Spirit that came upon David to pen all the Psalms and indeed all the Scripture lives in you now. The Spirit that shook Samson and gave him super strength dwells in you now. Spirit that was in Christ himself, that anointed Christ himself, dwells in you now. The Spirit that convicted Peter of his sin and sent him weeping into the dark dwells in you now. The Spirit that has changed every believer's heart and made them a believer dwells in you now. And this is the seal. This is the sign of your salvation. This is the guarantee of your inheritance. Any moment where you are convicted of sin, any moment where you are convicted of salvation, where you're convicted of your need for righteousness, any moment where the Scripture is open to you, this is the work of the Holy Spirit within you. The power to push you forward, the power to move you forward, the power to make you more like Christ. We talk about the Holy Spirit like a seal. We're talking about like the seal on your driver's license or a notary seal. This something that shows that something's official. It's authentic. It's the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. It's a seal. It's the sign that you are something authentic. You have love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness. Come on, I need to look it up. Maybe I should. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruits of the Spirit. They are the evidence. They are the evidence. They are the seal and the sign that you will live forever. So rejoice in this deposit. Rejoice in this pledge. And praise Him for it. Next, look with me at verses 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. I call upon you now to praise him as you work to see the kingdom come. This is the time where every knee bows to Christ. This is the time, as he has already been given all authority on heaven and earth, where every nation kneels before him, where rebellion and rejection of him is no longer an option. You see, Christ is not one of many possible options for the end times. Christ is not one of many possible religions. We see people put him in this light. People have asked me, what is your religion of choice? Religion of choice is the only true religion, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the King of heaven and earth. There will be no other options on the last great day. Everyone will indeed bow the knee to Christ. You see, we see His authority in Scripture, and we must praise Him. Every nation will praise Him. Every knee will bow to Him and praise Him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you have work in this. You have work in this. You are blessed to be in the place where you praise Him among the nations, where you praise Him among rulers, where you praise Him before judges. You praise Him before your co-workers, your fellow students, your parents, your children, your grandparents, your brothers, your sisters. We praise Him for who He is and what He has done. And this brings about what Christ is accomplishing. One of the things that I enjoy most is cutting down a tree with an axe. Every now and then I just get the urge, I want to go cut down a tree with an axe. And one of the interesting things about it is you'll be working on it, and you'll be working on it, and you'll be working on it, and you get really tired. But then when it gets to the place where that thing's starting to go, all of a sudden you're not tired anymore. And you just go nuts, and you start chopping on it as hard as you can, even though it's already falling. And any more of your chopping isn't going to accomplish anything else. But it just feels good as the tree's falling down to keep whacking it, because it feels like you're really accomplishing something. You know, the kingdom of God is something that's coming. It will come. Satan's kingdom is something that is already toppling. And you have been put in a place where you get to keep swinging the axe. You get to continue to go out and proclaim Christ as the gates of hell are even now being kicked in. You proclaim. And we do so as we praise Christ for our great redemption. As you have been purchased, as you have been sealed, as you look forward to glory. So praise Him. Praise Him to your parents. Praise Him to your children. Praise Him to your co-workers. Praise Him to your boss. Praise Him among the mighty. Praise Him among the weak for the great redemption that has been purchased for you. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for what You have done. Our Father, we praise You because You are good and mighty and all-powerful, and You have loved us and You have saved us. God, give us hearts to praise You. Give us hearts to rejoice in You, letting the world know who You are and what You have done for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.